All right.
Hello, everybody. How are you? We're
Oh,
just talking
good.
about Colton, Colton not wearing glasses. You've got contacts on. You look
Not sure if
different. I'm
I'll.
not used to
Yeah, you look so different.
it.
This is so weird. I said you look good, but it's kind of like I have this weird thing about, I guess, faces that whenever the people that I know like switch something about them, like glasses or I don't know, beard or facial hair or something like that, it takes me a while to adjust.
You've got alien beauty right now. Don't you like, don't you think? You look like you've got, you're not from this earth. A little bit. No, I'm
A little
serious.
bit.
You look a little bit. You know some people that are so good looking that you're like part alien. I feel like you've got like 2%. If you do like your 23andMe, you've got 2% alien. 2% Martian.
Martian.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
Interesting.
good thing. I like the earrings as well. Quite cool.
Yeah. No, I just decided, kind of wanted a new look, so I just
Okay.
off with the glasses and then put the contacts in. I remember I was going to start wearing contacts a long time ago, like I said, back in junior year, but just the prospect of having to get up every morning and put them in just like kept me from doing it,
Oh
because it
man.
would take long to put them in. Like, it would just be a painstaking process of like having touched my eye, and then I'd always like blink it out. Sort of take me like 10 to 15 minutes to put them in.
Is it getting better?
Now it's kind of easier. And since I don't have school, I have more time to kind of do whatever.
I only tried them once, I think. And it freaked me out. I remember this day because my friends had either a spare pair or like one day wear once. I don't know what was the case. And they were like, oh, do you want to try? And I just, out of nowhere, I decided to try. And like we were trying to fit them like in between the three of us, we were just trying to like stab me in the eye, essentially. And then we went to see the film. It was what we do in the shadows, but the film in the cinema, and my brain couldn't compute that I see everything at all times because I'm short-sighted. As in, I don't really see well. I should be wearing glasses, but I just decide not to, basically, because I see really well from the short distance, but from a long distance, essentially, like I don't see people or anything but by choice. And it was freaking me out to see things at all times. But not to be able to decide when, as in sometimes, like, for example, if I wear glasses in the street, like I can decide when I see you, when I don't see. And I was just like, wow. I see things at all times. Yeah. It's kind of one of the few films that I remember vividly. Well, as we did talk about that, it's What We Do in the Shadows, because I think I was like so surprised by the seeing process. So I was like, oh
That
wow,
is about.
that's extreme, extreme. But I've never done it again because like first it took me even longer to take them out. It was like so horrible. And then because like I want to be deciding whenever I see things and not see things.
The only other downside to my contacts is my astigmatism is so extreme that if it like shifts a little bit, then like it kind of goes blurry and I have to like wait for it to kind of shift back. So I'll just be
Oh
like
no.
in class or doing whatever, and then it'll just randomly go blurry and I'll just have to like
Oh
blink
man.
it back. Yes. Wow. I tried to get contacts. I was actually forced to get contacts when I was probably a teenager, maybe like 12 or something, 13 or something. And I did not want them. The idea of touching my eye was awful. And it was actually a partially traumatizing experience. Not traumatizing, but it was a stressful experience to say the least, because I couldn't get it in. I kept touching my eyelashes and I kept falling.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I can't. I kept blinking by mistake, and it was very frustrating, so I couldn't get it in. And when I did get it in, I couldn't get it out. I
Yeah.
finally got them in. I was like, oh, they're finally in. I was like, okay, I'll take them out. And I was like, oh, I couldn't get them out. I decided this is too much work. I'm just gonna stick with glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, not traumatizing, that's the wrong word. This is very frustrating and very stressful.
No, I mean, it's not necessarily the easiest physically process, I guess, to like get them out and stuff like that, to take them in, get them out. And I think it's the question of habit. It's like, for example, for me, it's really easy to do my inner line eyeliner, like, or any eyeliner for that matter. And this year, my fiance, he decided he's going to try the Lookout as well. And it was like, so at first it was like so difficult for him to do. And it's like, oh, that's gross. It's kind of like, it's a weird feeling. It's like, no, it's not. Just do it. There's nothing to it. And then after tries and errors, he is now able to do it like just fine. But at first, like anything that's like required, actually, now in theory, I understand why is it weird and stuff, but I guess after a while, once you wear the contacts, it's no longer that gross, I guess.
I mean, you are
Well, not
sticking a
gross, but
you're sticking
ugh.
a pencil millimeters or centimeters from your eye.
Yeah.
Like there's a pencil like that could stab your eye out right beside your eye.
Yeah, no, I mean it's in the waterline as well, but I've been doing that easy since I was 14. I mean, not every day, obviously, but it's a practice, so to speak, that I did get used to. But yeah, to explain to somebody how to do that as well is kind of like, oh, just yeah, stop yourself, and yeah, there's nothing as you do.
I'm picturing Catherine as next time I see her wearing an eye patch and a monocle. What happened? Well, I stabbed out this eye, and this eye is actually blinder than I thought. Now I need a monocle on it.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's a look. It's a look. It can
Eye
be a look.
patch and monocle. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a look. That's an aesthetic.
Kind of funny, eye patch and monocle. You should do it. You know what's funny? I wouldn't even think twice. I'd be like, oh, hey, okay. And that would be that.
As usual. Oh my God, I had to teach one of my lessons the other day because in Spain it's carnival, and me and my friend, we decided to go out and like dress up. So, and it would take me a long time to do the carnival or costume. Well, it's not massive costume and stuff like that, but I decided to dress up as a witch. And in order to pull it off on time, I needed to do it before my last lesson. And funny enough, it was well, it was with the student that you had the meeting with.
Oh,
And I was like, oh my God, it's going to be so bizarre. I didn't do the full crazy makeup. I just did like quite heavy dark makeup. And I like, first thing first, apologized about it. I was like, okay, well, I'm not weird like this. It's just because I didn't have that time. Otherwise, and they're like, no, I
yeah,
mean, it's fine.
I think we can use him by name. He listens to these podcasts. Hello.
Oh.
I actually don't know how to pronounce his name because I don't know how it's written and his email says one thing. Do you know how to pronounce his name? I feel kind of embarrassed.
I, me too. It's,
Oh no, neither of us.
No, it's kind of like, I think it's not because I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think that if I pronounce it, it's gonna sound ridiculous.
He's probably listening and being like, are they talking about me? He's like listening, like, are they talking about me? This could be me. My name's kind of hard to pronounce. Maybe it's not me though. He's like, it could be
I mean,
actually. There's probably numerous students who listen. They're like, are they talking
is
about
it?
me? My name is Sarah. Is Sarah hard to pronounce? No, it's not
If
hard
you put
to
your
pronounce.
mind to it, oh man. It's I mean, it's a weird coincidence to have another student that I would wear the costume. Well, it's not a costume, but kind of like the spectacular eyelashy crazy makeup with. I don't think I do that often with people. But yeah, I felt a little bit embarrassed about that, but well.
Yeah.
And I didn't even end up going out in general because it was like very gloomy, and me and my friend were like a little bit ill, and we were just like texting each other. I did the whole face of makeup and like the costume and everything like that, and then we were like in she also, and we were talking about it, and we didn't end up going because
All
it
you need is
was,
the eye patch and the monocle, and it's complete.
yeah,
Life is
that's the complete.
complete.
I mean, I don't know, it's kind of the look. I did see somebody on Instagram doing an eye patch, but they genuinely needed that, so I don't know, but hopefully
And that's just their
no
face,
shame to.
Catherine. That's just their face, Catherine. That's
No,
not a look then.
not in this sense, but they were it was kind of like they're trying to style it. There was a video about it, like how to style weird things. Well, not weird things, but in this case, I only realized at the end that they were styling their patch because they
I
needed it and
see.
not because they were styling it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a horrible person. But well, here we are.
Yeah, I think most people go with the glass eye route. They don't do an eye patch, right?
Oh, I guess so.
I mean, people don't walk around with nothing. It's not like an empty socket and you go, whoa, that would be. Could you imagine
Yeah.
someone walking around like just one eye, like, dude, you're missing an eye. Ah, I know, I know. I actually was only born with one and just like, what would that even look like? Because everyone, they put something in. They put a glass eye, their eye,
Yeah.
yeah.
No, I guess because it's like to avoid, essentially to resemble normalcy, like whatever you have. And it's obviously easier when you have like a quirk that is not visible, but if it's like in your face, literally, I would guess it's just to avoid to for people to stare at them or whatever, which is fair enough. Although if they do decide to rock the no eye look, I think everybody should be. It's more a society problem, not than person problem, I think.
I love how you said the no eye look. That makes it sound like someone walking with no eyes.
Oh my God. I love this podcast because I appreciate how it's like, oh, you're doing the podcast today. Yeah. What is the topic gonna be like? I'm like, I have no idea. And it's a no eye look.
That's the new
Okay.
fashion. That's the 2024 Vogue magazine, front page magazine, the no eye look.
I mean, the eye would
Hashtag
be
can't see
tight.
me. No, hashtag can't see you.
Can't see you, exactly. Why would I want to see you
Yeah.
even? No.
If you guys lost an eye, would you rather wear the eye patch or the glass eye or go the no eye route?
No. No, I mean, I would have 1,000 eyes. I know myself well enough to know
Wow.
that if,
Wait, didn't even. Like, you
I
mean
don't
like
know,
different glass eyes, you mean?
yeah,
Yeah.
like
Okay. Yeah.
I would have 1,000.
I thought you
Honestly,
meant like,
my.
I'm just gonna like, if I lose an eye, I'm just gonna get an implant, like 1,000 eyes in my face. Never mind. One goes, then it's either two eyes or 2,000.
Tattoos like this. No, I mean,
Yeah.
I kind of, I don't know. Hopefully, it's not offensive to whoever does genuinely have this disability. Hopefully, because I obviously I have no idea what I'm talking about. But as far as my preferences in buying, I even buy sometimes if I like a dress, I buy like five in different color. It's the same dress. Because I know how it looks like and everything like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if I just. So this one pen I like specifically.
Oh my God.
And I bought all the available pens like this. So yeah, I would have a big box of eyes. And depending on the mood, I'll just swap them out.
It's like mine, except none of them work. Like I just
Oh, me too. Me too. I've got like a pen case and like none of them work.
Man.
I grab one, it's like, oh, that
Like
doesn't work. Damn it, this one. No.
none of these pencils like have lead or anything, and all of the pens are just like dried out.
aesthetic purposes. Do you guys
Yeah,
prefer,
just
like, for example, for your workspace, do you prefer keep it like really tidy and really clean and no things on? Or do you hopefully have 1,000 little items around?
have trinkets all over my desk. Let's take a look.
While Colton looks, yeah, I usually have stuff, but it's not always my stuff though. But yeah, I usually have stuff around. It's never like completely tidy.
Yeah. It's impossible for me to keep it tidy. And I get genuinely annoyed if my desk is kindly tidied for me. I will appreciate the gesture, but I'll be like, really mad. My parents used to do that. They're like, "Oh, we cleaned your desk." I'm like, "No. I now know nothing about this desk, and I have no idea where the things are."
My desk is very chaotic, but I still know where everything is. And I have random things like this metal straw. Like, I don't know where it's from, or
Can't know.
I don't know. But if I ever need a straw, I like know exactly where to go get one.
Yeah,
So.
I have honestly. Oh my
Crystals.
God,
I thought that was cake for a second. And I was like, what are you doing with
No.
cake?
If only. No, I have this stone I specifically like baked once somewhere. I don't really remember where it was, but I just like I saw a shiny rock and I just baked it and brought it home. This stone is supposed to bring me financial abundance. Well, that's yet to be seen. And this stone is supposed to be bringing me resilience, and also have like toys. Randomly, I have two little cats that when we started dating, my boyfriend got me, and I was carrying them around everywhere at some point. Well, this black one specifically, and I was constantly like fidgeting with it, and the tail, and the other cat had the same sort of
Oh
destiny, because I fidget a lot, to be fair. Like, I'm mostly my students what my students don't realize is that most likely in order for me to concentrate, I'm doing something with my hands, like fidgeting, because it genuinely does help. But it's weird if it's like above the desk. So usually I have like this thing, for example, and I just like go about, and it kind of helps me to stay focused, and it's weird like that. So yeah, the secret.
I What's that?
Yeah.
What is it? Wait, what is that?
A Tide Pod. That's what I fidget
Oh, a
with.
Tide Pod.
It's just really soft. Yeah, no, I was doing laundry one day a while ago, and I just had an extra, and then I just never. So I just started fidgeting with it.
Are we weird, or is everybody like that, but they just don't say? Because I'm convinced that everybody probably secretly is like that, but it's just not spoken about.
Well, part of the reason I've had it so long is because I've just had it so long that some of the soap has started to be
Oh
like
no.
discolored.
I was just about to
I
ask,
can't
wait,
use.
so it doesn't leak out? The soap in your soap pod that you fidget with doesn't leak or explode or nothing?
So far, it hasn't.
How long has it been?
Only. Yeah, since October.
Okay.
But I also don't. I have to, like, sometimes I have to put it away because I like just get the urge to,
Pop it,
like, right
poke
now I have
it.
to, yeah, just pop it. Well, not pop it, but I want to see, like, how much I can go. But like
Yeah.
that would pop it. What
Man,
else would I bring up?
there's a British show called Would I Lie to You? And what they do is they bring on celebrities, they tell some sort of ridiculous anecdote, and it could be true, it might be false. And then, but they have to defend it as if it's true, and then people try to guess if you're lying, you're telling the truth. And they always bring on people that have ridiculous anecdotes. And there's one that just reminded me of your soap pod. This guy said he was hiking. He said, once I was hiking with my daughter in Spain, and this man walked out from out of a blizzard, handed me a walnut. I've now carried that walnut for the past 10 years everywhere I go. And it's basically they're hiking, they got caught in a blizzard. Some man walks out of the snowstorm, wordlessly handed him a walnut, kept going. Bolton's gonna go get a walnut now, isn't he? I
No.
was the man.
He just reminded me of this peanut that I've had since 7th grade.
I have a chestnut, Colton. Everything is okay.
You have a chestnut?
I do. I have it in my bag because
I've
it's a
had this.
good luck sign here.
You've had that peanut
It's
since the
really
seventh grade?
nice. Yeah, because I don't know. It just like look at that nub. It looks like a toe.
Oh man.
It looks like a gnarly toenail.
It does that
And
actually.
or if you like hold it this way, it looks like somebody with like a feather sticking up. And I was like, wow, that's cool. Like, I've had it since the 7th grade.
I don't
Catherine,
know.
why do you have a walnut?
I
No,
chestnut, chestnut, a
chestnut.
chestnut. So apparently, here in this region of Spain, I'm not sure if it's Spain, but or in this specific region, it's good luck. And actually, I did have in the shop, I must say, you're not going to believe that, but in the shop, we have a man who comes around every now and again, and he's doing the Camino in de Santiago back and forth, and that's where he lives. He just walks back and forth. He doesn't have a house or anything, and he's like a walking artist. And he did come round to the shop and brought the chestnut and knife of the chestnut. That probably is the same man. That is the same man as the chestnut man. It was not a walnut. It was a chestnut. The guy doesn't know he's nuts, essentially. No, he kind of like just is this older, very like massive beard, kind of Gandalf looking man who gives you chestnuts every now and then. It's weird like that. And he likes our shop for some reason. Because the shop is like right next to the cathedral, so it makes sense. Like before he goes to the cathedral, which is the final step, he just like pops by, says hello to us. Quite funny. Quite
One
funny. We
time
do
I
have
was
a
in.
chest
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
in the till. We also have the chestnut.
In the till.
I have one personal one and one shop one. Yet again, we are yet to see the financial abundance that all of these things get. I don't
Don't know.
know. Eventually. Not just now, I guess.
One time I was in Montreal on a school trip. This is back when I was a university student. And we had hot pot. My first time having, I think it was my first time having hot pot, I think. We leave. I hear eerie music. I see two girls dressed as fairies in light up clothing dancing around. And I was like, am I seeing things? I look at my friends like, do you guys hear and see this too? They said, yeah, no, it's not just you. The fairies kind of waltz over to us, prance over, and they go, come, come, come with us, come with us. And we're like, okay. So we follow them and they take us to these really long tables. This sounds like a fever dream. It's going to sound like a fever dream. They take us to these long banquet style tables they've set up outside, and they position us at these tables. They get a few more people around. There's a bunch of us and we're just standing there like, what's going on? And then the girls suddenly go from these prancing little fairies to these aggressive, I don't know, sprites. And they go, go, hit the tables, bang the tables, go, 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 go. And we're like, ah! And we're all banging these tables. We're all banging them. And they're like egging us on. And they kept looking up at this clock tower or this church. There's a clock tower? I think it was a clock tower. No, I can't
Oh my
remember because
God.
Montreal doesn't have clock towers. Maybe they do. Some building. And they keep looking up at it. And I'm looking too, and there's nothing there. And then one of them would act as if they won. They'd do this prancing around. One would curtsy to the other. She'd kiss the girl's hand. They'll skip off into the, and they skipped off into the darkness. And then we're all left here like, what just happened? Now, we stood there long enough for the fairies to come back and start the whole thing again. So we had to walk up and ask, like, I walked up and asked, like, what are you doing? And turns out they're art students and they're doing a performance art piece.
I see. I'd
Yeah.
freak out probably. How do you react to that? Like, what is the appropriate reaction for this set of circumstance?
You just
Like,
go along with it and just you go along with it and embrace the surreality, is that a word? Surrealness of what's happening.
Oh man. I don't know. I'm just trying to think, have we ever seen anything like that?
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like you
It's
both have. I don't know.
I'm making those things
You...
myself as if anything. I have a new witchcraft stories if you care to listen.
Ooh.
I want that. Okay, I'm going to say, like clickbait a little bit. I magically, I don't know if foreseen or guessed one of the two winning lottery numbers. And how much I'm going to win.
What?
Unfortunately, it's 6 euros. But essentially, there is a St. Valentine's lottery. And for some reason, I was like deadly convinced. I'm like, okay, if I'm really a witch, I told my boyfriend to go and get us the lottery tickets. And I told him to get 8 and 4. And that has to be the last numbers, 8 and 4. And if you guess last two numbers, you get 6 euros. I'm like, okay, well, get 8 and 4, and we're going to win 6 euros. 100%. That's happening. He's like, yeah, of course, yeah, sure. And he got it, and lo and behold, I am a witch, and it was 8 and 4, and we're now lucky 6 euros. I mean, I could have guessed the whole thing. That would be nice, Because it would be 500 servant, I think, something like that. But 6 euros. No, but I don't know how I even got there. Because I woke up in the morning, I was like, okay, we have to play the lottery. It has to be 8 and 4, and it has to be bought on this specific day, and it has to be like this specific time. I don't know why. I just decided so. And I have believed it. And I told all of my friends, I was like, okay, if I win 6 euros, that means I'm actually a witch. And everybody's like, yeah, sure, of course. And then I was like, look, you actually genuinely won 6 euros. And now everybody's afraid of me. Yeah, so.
Like we're probably like in some video game and the aliens are doing this to us. Like, ah, let's give her a
Yeah.
little bit of information and then she'll think she's, you know what I mean? Like I think about
Don't
what, you know, like Colton had the whole thing about the magpies, but I think sometimes about, I don't know how to put this into words, but if there's like an ant colony, right? And you, I used to leave chocolate out for these ants that live close to my house. Sounds kind of weird to say that. These ants that live close to my house, but those are ants by my house. They were just ants by my house, and I left chocolate for them. That's basically what I'm trying to say here. Not that like they weren't my neighbors, like, hey, what's up, sipping tea on a balcony, you know? But there are these ants by my house. There's a lot of ants by my house, okay? And I would go and like leave chocolate out for them, and I'd see like what they could lift, and like how what the weight they could lift and everything, right? And like as an and as an adult, I had to go and check like which ones did they take, because they wouldn't always take them all, right? Because you know some are too heavy, and I don't know what the reasoning is. But as an adult, I thought back like what was going through if those ants were smart and they were like sentient, not sentient, but sentient,
Make aware or
conscious,
some.
conscious beings. Yeah, like what would they think? How would they rationalize that these chocolates appearing out of nowhere? And they'd have all sorts of stories about the Bigfoot or the big, I don't know.
Big hand in that
What would you
case.
call them? Like big hands, or I don't know what they call us, but the big gods that, you know, put stuff down for them, and how we must have blessed them in that day. They did something right in the ant colonies. The queen will be so happy. And you know, the queen that day might have made a prediction. Like, today is the day that we're gonna have a windfall. And that's the day that I happen to go, a little 6-year-old Azrin, maybe I should put chocolate out for the ants. And then inside, like, Queen, the Queen was right. The Queen was right. She's befriended the Azrin. Woo! Celebrate. They're having like parties. And meanwhile, just like 6-year-old me eating chocolate, being like, maybe they want to have some too. Break off of Chulair.
No, but that's genuinely what many people believe. Like the whole channeling things is about like the higher powers essentially playing games, and that the majority of, for example, the celebrities are to some degree aware of the trade, and they gain money, power, and stuff like that in exchange of channeling whatever the these people, well, the people, whatever the things are, want to project, essentially. I don't think I believe in that necessarily. Because it's one of the things I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to go into that too much. But there are people who do believe that. Well, there are people who do believe in any sort of thing, but yeah, why not? I mean, on that specific day, 8 and 4, you need to play the lottery. I don't know. Maybe next time I'll know the whole number. That
Maybe he was Colton without his glasses.
would be
Look,
cool.
because Colton, you got like you have this like exotic beauty without your glasses. Don't you? Is it just me? Like
Really?
I'm like mildly attracted to Colton at the moment.
It's just a different look. I told you, for me, it takes me a while to just, it can be the good look, it can be the bad look, it can be like the person can like change the hair color, something like that, and it suits them really well. My brain doesn't want it because it's kind of like, okay, well, that's apart from the standard. I don't want that. I need to adjust. I can't perceive the person, especially in person. Like this one time, William accidentally shaved his beard off. As in he like, oh my God, it was so difficult for
Accidentally
him.
shaved his beard off.
I mean, he was trying to get a trim and accidentally forgot to like switch the, and it was like one stripe, and there is nothing you can do about it. You know what I mean? Oh, he's going to
You're
listen to
funny.
that. He's going to hate me for that so much. But anyway, and so basically I came home and I was at work, and he texted me that, and I was like, I'm gonna die. This is going to be the worst day of my life. I'm not going to understand anything. And I came home, it took me a while to adjust. I'm like that's a different person. That's I told you the story. It's like I thought I had two moms when I was a child because my mom wore makeup and took the makeup off, and I was like, well, they're two different people. Just I have two moms. Because weird, I guess. Hilarious. Yeah. So actually, as far as Colton goes, I just don't know this person. That's a new gentleman. Oh my God.
Yeah. I like this look he's making. The camera is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna look at myself in the corner. I kind of like how it looks without glasses, but it definitely does look very different. Like I can't even really comprehend it myself because where even are my glasses? Yeah, it's just so weird how it makes my glasses or my eyes just like
different.
Yeah. Different. Not even smaller, just different. Yeah, they don't look smaller actually. Some people's eyes look smaller without glasses. Yours, I don't think they do. No, they don't. They don't look smaller.
It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
Enough for my brain not to recognize the person.
I have noticed it seems like my like the crease in my top or my upper eyelid, it seems like it kind of disappears without glasses. Like you can see it with glasses, but like it's just kind of like straight, if that makes sense.
You look almost Mongolian.
Yeah.
A lot of Mongol look to you. No?
Probably like I also have really long eyelashes that kind of like shape eye, I think as well. Wonder what I'd look like without eyelashes.
This is the conversation. Honestly, it's kind of like, oh yes, let's talk about something useful. Like, oh, how do you learn the languages better? No, it doesn't really matter that.
What would you do if you had no eyelashes, missing an eyeball, and wearing an eye patch?
Adam, what would you do? Eye patch or glass eye?
Oh yeah, we never actually talked about that.
Yeah, we never finished it.
So a part of me feels like I would want to wear like just go with the eyeless look because why not? Like I don't know, that's me. I don't need to put on a fake eye, but then I feel like everyone around would be like, yo, you've gotta do you know what I would do? Oh, do you know what'd be so cool? If I kept this eye closed throughout the day and then I painted like an eye on top of it. And then like when tattoo. I open it, it gets like it'll throw people off. It'd be like nothing, and then it'll look like I'm blinking, but not. It'll throw people for a loop. They won't know what they're seeing because when I unblink, you'll see into my soul basically, and then I'll blink, and when I close it again, it's like an eye. So every time I blink in your eyes, you see deep into my soul, and then I close it, and it's normal. It'll just mess with everyone's heads.
Yeah, basically.
Could you imagine if that's how our physiology was instead? Like, instead of our eyelids coming down, like, our eyes went up or something?
Maybe there is a planet like that somewhere in the universe.
Oh my God, like my problem. And then over in the other planet, there are some podcasts talking about, like, what if skin came down in front of your eyes? How horrible that would be.
No, but I mean, the multiverse or whatever this called theory is pretty much that. There is like an infinite amount of possibilities, and that definitely is happening by that definition.
Well, that'd be such a fun podcast to be like, we have this podcast. We just get the multiverse, like that version, the upward eye people that join us. And we just do six people podcast, and we all talk to each other like, so what do you guys do your planets? And it's like, Colton is like over there is like up eye Colton's like, I don't know. He's still digging holes in the field. It's like, I was going to go to school. I love this digging holes. And that's what
it's a parallel universe. I mean, all the choices that we've made.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could have been learning Norwegian as opposed to Spanish. And yeah.
I was telling my friend this the other day. And I was only half joking. And she could tell. And she thought it was a little bit weird. I was telling her about this machine in heaven. Because you guys, we've talked about these psychedelic style imaginative things that maybe, right? So I was half joking about this. And I was like, man, imagine if there's like a room in heaven, and in this room there's like a machine. And what you can do on this machine is you can play through your whole life, and you can make different decisions in your life, and you can watch to see how your life would play out. And I was telling her I'd spend like hours in this room, be like, yo, Jesus, come on over. Like, look what happened if I married this person. Look what happened if I did this. Like, and then like I would have totally played my life through in different ways. And I would have enjoyed like just changing stuff and then meeting the people in heaven that I would have met on earth if I'd done something different. Be like, yo, Krista. Krista, is there Krista? Jesus, go find me Krista. Is there Krista? Is there Krista here? Yo, Krista, we could have been like best friends if we just like worked 1x. If you hadn't quit that job and I hadn't done this, we could have been best buddies.
I would do that. I would do that.
Place
Colton,
my
would you
life.
do that?
I think about that all the time. I'm like, my one hope is that at the end of my life, I can like see the stats of my life, like just like everything. Imagine like, how many times did you blink? How many times did you think or just whatnot? And then I wish I could like go back through time and then see, because I often feel
First off.
like, no, I often feel like the universe is testing me. Like I can't explain how, but I feel like there's like two choices, and then it's just like something that like would branch out into the rest of my life. So I would just like to like be able to go through, like Azrin said, and just see which like choices branch out and whatnot.
You could probably be there for infinity, like as long as you, as long as, oh, conspiracy theory. What if the life we're living now is just another version of me that decided to move a branch and wants to watch it play out?
I mean, don't you think about those things sometimes
And then he's laughing
that,
as I said that, like, oh, he knows now, he knows.
but like, don't you think those things is like you can't, there is a paradox like that. You can't prove that people exist out of your brain. You
That's
can't prove that other people exist. Like, it can all be your imagination. You can't really prove otherwise. N Nobody can prove you otherwise. Like, there is no proof that it's not all in your head, really.
so
So
crazy. You guys, yeah, when there's no Zoom, you guys don't exist. You only exist when Zoom is.
but from my perspective, it's you guys that don't, that just
that's the
like
thing, yeah.
cease. No, I think about that often. Like, I can't really prove that I'm not just like some brain in a vat that's like
It's just like
getting.
gotta get, are we weird? People in the comments right below. It's because we are crazy like this. Or does everybody think about that all the time? I hope that's the second one.
I don't think
What
people think
else?
of this. So when I've been like I've been dating recently, and that means I've been, all it means I see people that are outside my usual sphere. Because even when I meet strangers, it's there was some connection to it. Like I have my monthly language meetups here. There's a language connection. There's like some connection. Whereas when you're dating, especially off an app or something, like you meet all sorts of people that are wildly
Yeah.
different. And I don't know, man. Like, I think we might be a little, we got a screw, not a screw loose. What's that expression? We're a little weird.
My favorite expression of the week is it doesn't apply here, but I just want to share, just remembered about it. It's like, what was it? Sharp as a marble.
Love that.
It's so funny. Like, whoever came up with that, that's amazing. Unfortunately, it wasn't me,
Sounds like a British
but
expression.
it's just, I mean, and I don't know. It's a little bit like with, for example, opinions and beliefs and stuff like that, about like politics and things. According to the media that we consume, like, everybody is able to create their little universe where everybody agrees with them, but then you can also go outside and see that that's not necessarily the objective reality. It's like, for example, if you read, like, I don't know, five news outlets, and you think that's the reality through this lens of this news, and you never read like this, like outside of this outlets, what other people think and say, it can be quite eerie sometimes to realize, like, oh, that's not necessarily how everybody thinks, let alone thinking about like crazy stuff. Sorry.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think throughout my life, like about every 5 years, my opinions like drastically change. Like, but every, like during each period, I was just like convinced, no, this is like the right way to see things. This is like the right opinion to have, but it just like completely changes.
You don't strike me
Yeah.
as someone who really clings to beliefs, though, Colton. You strike me as someone who'd hold a strong belief loosely, as the saying goes.
How would I? I guess it depends. I mean, I'm generally, I'm generally open to hearing what other people say, but, and I'll like listen, but at the same time, it, like in my head, I'm just, nah. Like I'll listen, I'll hear them out, and then I'll kind of think about it, take it into consideration, and then it's like, yeah, just kind of. Or how do I think? Actually, I don't know. I
It's a
don't
good
know
question to
if
ask
I
yourself, actually.
have to think about it more.
Think about how you
Azra,
think
how
my
about
belief.
you? Azra, how about you? Do you think you have more flexible or more rigid, I don't know, ideology, beliefs, values, whatever you want to call them?
That's a really complicated question. So on one hand, I'll say this, that especially recently, I find that the way I view things changes quite rapidly. So literally, here's a decision I made a day ago, but it was about a week or two in the making, but I made the decision yesterday. Like I don't consume content idly anymore. No social media, no YouTube, no Instagram. No idle consumption. Except for I'll watch one show or maybe a YouTube video. Like I'm allowed for 45 to 60 minutes at the very end of my day. That's it. And so throughout the day, like my phone, I don't check my phone. I will only like I don't check for messages. I don't that's not entirely true. Sometimes I'll check only because I need to check because maybe there's a class coming and I just check have they canceled it or is something has something happened that I should know before it starts. But that's a practical checking. I'm actually checking for a real reason. And it took me about a week to get to that decision. So yeah, and I that's that. Yesterday is the first day. And I'm pretty sure I might change my mind, but so far that has been a at least an interesting decision, at least.
And do you guys develop habits easily? Because that's potentially is a habit, isn't it? Like you kind of
Yeah,
change your
but and
habit.
that's it is a habit, but it's interesting because I've been changing. Because I've been changing my beliefs so rapidly, especially since last summer, I would say, my beliefs will change really, really rapidly. It's actually hard to stick to a belief because my whole psyche will change so fast sometimes. I go, you know what? I gotta drop that decision now because now I've realized that this is actually better. But it's quite scary in a way because it changes so fast. It's always changing. So it's, I feel kind of uncomfortable making decisions because I'm scared I'm gonna change it in a week. It's been interesting actually, really unusual.
Kind of sounds like how I am. Like I've been having this, just to give you one example, been having this like conflicting thoughts about whether to keep my hair long or to cut it, because like on one hand I think I would look better with short hair and it'd be like easier to manage, but on the other hand, like I just like having long hair. It's kind of like something that I've done for so long, but it's funny because I'll like really think about it, but my opinion always changes. Like one week I'll just set on cutting it, but then the next week it'll be like, no, you can't cut it. And it's kind of frustrating because it feels like it's two different people who have like two different opinions, but like the decision would affect like both of them.
Well, I can relate to that so much, actually. That's why I've never dyed my hair, for example. And I know funny enough, in the same hair process, I'm thinking about dyeing my hair. I have no idea what color would, because I've never done it. And it was like, well, maybe you should try it. Like, you never know. But then there is one part of me is kind of like, yeah, but what if you'll never get your hair back and it's going to be dramatically ruined and there is nothing you can do about it and you like your hair as is. And like, and then there is a second half of me is kind of like, yeah, but what if you accidentally discover the new you, the new color that you like the most and now it's going to be become part of your identity. And it's like a constant conflict. And I don't know, that's why I don't develop habits easily either. Every single thing I do, I need to think about it. I don't think I have a single habit that Like even smoking, for example, I used to smoke and I quit really easy, but just because I just one day I'm like, oh, no longer. And that was it, pretty much. And
I wonder if,
I don't
well,
know. And it's a
yeah, I
little
can
bit
never.
like that, no? The shift of things. Colton, you were saying.
I was gonna say, yeah, I never really have been able to like build habits either, just because like I feel like every second is new, or like every hour is like something different. But I also think it's just the way that my brain works. Like recently I've been noticing kind of how differently like my brain functions compared to other people, and I've kind of chopped it up to like ADHD, so I'm pretty sure that it's just like the way
But
that I am.
it's so difficult to like. There is so much media talking about it. I'm not sure to which extent is that the reality that because I don't know, I relate to a lot of things that the ADHD things are, but also there is a second half of me. I'm sure Colton, you have the same probably issue. There's like, no, you know, like who told you? Did you go to the medical professional to tell you that? No, you didn't.
Like it first started with me just like noticing habits in myself and then seeing them people talk about it online, and then I just thought, oh well, you know, you can't really diagnose yourself.
Yeah.
And I was diagnosed, and I still wouldn't consider myself ADHD because I don't have the diagnosis. But I also did just recently figure out that my entire, or not my entire, but most of my paternal like side of the family is ADHD, so I'm pretty sure
Oh,
that I
well.
did like inherit it.
In that case, it makes sense, actually. I don't know. It's also because this sort of thing, I don't know if you guys agree, but like your friendship group will exhibit the same things and you kind of normalize it because you tend to be attracted, not attracted to, but I don't know how to explain that. Not attracted as in romantically, but like drawn to, I guess, people with a similar mindset. Like, for example, this whole podcast is essentially like the inability to stick on one topic, to name one thing, kind of.
Noticed that too. Like all of my friend groups, going back and like looking at them, I see that their brain works so similarly to mine, and they have do so many, and they're just so similar to me. And it, I find it so strange that I, it's like almost magnets, like the way that we just kind of like found each other.
Yeah. No, but
It's funny because,
you either click or you don't, basically. And if you
yeah.
do, most likely they're going to be similar.
Yeah. But I just find it so funny, like how much similar they are. And then you can just like almost feel it at the beginning, but like you don't have any idea the ways that they're similar. You just kind of like figure it out as you go. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, because you uncon like. So I did a really deep meditation today. I'll share the meditation, then I'll share the lesson. Actually, I'll share the lesson first. So the lesson was, it's actually hard to put the lesson into words. I'll share the story. So I was in this meditation, and I was in you know, the Matrix hallway where there's all the doors. I mean, not hallway, but like all the doors. So it's two rows of doors, and there's a lot of different doors that open into different worlds, quote unquote. And then I stood there by a door, and it opened towards me. And I probably sat there for 10 minutes trying to figure out if doors should open towards you or if they should open this way. And I was actually like sitting there, like, is this door opening the right way? I was just opening it in my head, like, is that doors open? Maybe I'm not leaving out of a hallway, but I'm actually leaving, like, a hallway is my home and I'm leaving out my home. And I was like, just sitting thinking about that. It's like, okay, this is a stupid thing to think about for a long time. So I close the door and then I kind of look around. Just a pretty plain hallway, lots of doors. I look up and this camera's on me. And I was like, oh, I'm on TV. I want to go see the set. So I try to like fly. Apparently I can fly. But there's like this invisible barrier and it keeps stopping me. And I could really, and even if I try really hard to try and break through, it's my own brain for crying out loud. I should be able to break the rules. part of my brain's like, nah, you can't come up here. And I was like, well, screw you, this part of my brain. So I imagine a ceiling come up so you can't see me. But then there's like a demon face that kind of pops over and goes, I can still see you. And I was like, what the hell's going on? And then there's other, I was like, well, I don't want to go through this door. I don't want to play this game you put me in. I'm going to play my own game. And then this other red door shows up. And I was like, well, how do I know if I made the red door or if like this demon dude made the red door? I was like, should I go through the red door? And I was like, screw it. I'm just gonna, you're trying to make me do stuff. I'm gonna do nothing. I'm gonna sit down right here and do nothing. You're trying to make me play this game. I'm gonna sit here. I'm not gonna enter any doors. I'm just gonna sit. The floor beneath me falls open like a trap door. I was like, no, screw you. I'm sitting. I'm not doing anything. So I like bungee cord back up to the top and sit again. Eventually the whole construct disappears. And I was like, I don't care what you do. I'm just doing nothing. And then the part of my brain that's creating all this just shut off. And as I was like kind of sitting in like a state of nothingness, like complete stillness. And I was like, ah, if you stop, it's something like if you stop playing. So it's like the meditation is a conversation between your unconscious mind and your conscious mind. They're consciously working through this world that your unconscious mind creates. But then if you stop playing, the unconscious mind stops too, because there's nothing to create. Even if it throws stuff out, you do nothing. You don't participate. The game ends. Kind of like an argument. Someone goes like, you're fat. Yeah, okay. Yeah, probably am. Argument's over. Oh, yeah, you're right. Thanks for telling me. They can't, there's nothing to argue with, right? Kind of the same concept. If you stop playing, it all stops. I forget why that's relevant to what you're saying. What were you talking about? It was relevant to
Like the fact that you forget whether it's relevant to what we're saying, that's pretty relevant to what we're saying.
I mean,
So
it got
was
so caught
relevant.
up that I.
There's something we're talking
No.
about. Oh, the unconscious. Oh yeah, that was, sorry, there's a whole connection. Yeah. So Colton said that he meets people, you meet people and you kind of like you find out over time that you got along. And I somehow got to that story, which was about the unconscious
Oh,
mind.
because you just like unconsciously connect with people and unconsciously.
Oh, yeah. Because that's what it was. Yeah, so you're unconscious, that's what I remember. So your unconscious mind sees so much more that you don't consciously notice. That's what I was trying to say. So I didn't know when I entered that meditation, I was like, I don't know where this is going. What is happening here? But then after I was like, oh, that all made sense. There was a clear insight. And clearly, I mean, I did all this. My brain did all this. So clearly somewhere in me I knew how this all had to play out. But I couldn't have told you until it happened. Just like with like your friends, like you get along with someone, you don't really know why consciously, but then over time you're like, oh, we're actually similar here, and we're like this. Oh, and this is why we're friends. I know this is why I like the person. Oh, we're really similar. Oh, they think like me. Oh, our personality's similar. But you probably knew that at some level you realize it on at some deep unconscious level. And then after it manifests itself, just like in my head, like I had to play the whole story out, and I was like, ah, I get it. You have to play the whole friendship out, and then you're like, oh, I see why I really like this person. But you actually knew it from the beginning, you just didn't consciously know it in the beginning.
Yeah, it's a little bit what we're talking about. Like, at the first meeting with a student, I'm sure that you guys agree, you always know if it's going to be successful or not. You always know. Then you're trying to like lie to yourself. I know the not success rate, but so, like I know if it can help the person or not. And if the answer is no, I'll still to try to lie to myself. It's like no. Let's try this method, this thing, that thing. But like, always I know whether it's going to, as in to my standard. Yet again, the person can perceive it as successful, and in my head it's going to be like no, but like I could have done this better, that better, this better, that better. But kind of like the first 5 minutes, I can know if the person is going to be a match or not, and then go from there.
That reminds me of this, or not even really a paper I read, just something that I heard. The emotional part of your brain, which is kind of where all of the social, like social things happens, it's so much more, it makes connections and it works so much more faster than the logical part of your brain, like in your forehead. And so my theory is that just when you're like talking to people, you're able to just know and get that sensation because your the emotional part of your brain is so just
And
evolved to be social that it's able to just like make those connections and see all those patterns really quick. But I think it probably happens so fast that you're like, it just doesn't really communicate that part with the logical part of your brain. So like you can't really consciously say, oh, the reason I feel like we would be good friends is because he has the same exact brain chemistry as me, but you could probably feel it in a sense and feel it, but you're not really consciously aware of it.
Yeah, on a physiological level, it makes total sense because kind of like the distribution of the brain would tell the same story essentially. I'm not sure if it's the social or emotional, because social arguably is kind of like the middle ground of the brain. Well, broadly speaking,
Yes.
obviously, but it's the one that connect, like our ability to socialize is essentially what connects our emotions to our logic. And the people who, that's why, for example, many people with diverse sort of, well, sort of not neurotypical people, for example, why they operate differently and they sometimes lack certain social skills. I'm not trying to say all the neurodivergent people lack social skills, but it's like each and everyone can lack like one specific one or the other one, or I don't know. I don't remember faces, for example, as far as I'm concerned. But it's because the central part of the brain is not necessarily as well connected as the either the like the frontal lobe or the hippocampus or whatever it's called, the back part. It's quite. I know for a fact that it's the case for me because when I did the fMRI thing, I specifically obviously wanted to see the picture of my brain and stuff like that. And indeed, even physically, I kind of have like a little value in here. I'm like, ah, okay, well, kind of makes sense. My brain looks exactly how I theorized it to be. Yeah, so makes sense. Makes sense.
Interesting. I don't know if you guys have noticed, this is something I'm thinking about. This has been something I've been thinking about recently, that there are pushes, pulls, and neutrals. So what does this mean? So this has to do with like there's a connection to what you're saying, but I can't remember what the connection was. You said something, I thought of it, but anyway. So for example, I told you how I stopped scrolling my phone, like any tech really, any screens. It's actually a deeper decision. That what I realize is that there are things that pull your attention, there are things that push your attention, and there are things that are neutral. So a phone pulls your attention. You can either think of it as a pull or a suck. You can go in one of two ways. So like if you scroll your, I don't know, reels or shorts on YouTube or TikTok incessantly, you've been sucked into it. It's pulling your attention. Like you can actually, or I can actually feel it pulls me, right? Or something like even watching a Netflix show, it's like a pull, it pulls me. And some things are neutral. And so a neutral might be, and by the way, pulls aren't necessarily bad. I should make that clear. Like if my sister is in the room and she goes like makes a noise, like wants to play with me, that's a pull as well. It pulls me, right? So pulls, maybe I framed it like pulls are bad, but they're not necessarily bad. Just that there are things that pull your attention. There's things that are neutral, so they don't really do anything for your attention. So this morning I was in bed and I was kind of like sleepy and I was supposed to go shower, and I was like noticing that the bed was a pull, the shower is a neutral. So bed's pulling me to stay in bed. The shower is neutral. Like I could go shower and it's not really pushing me away or pulling me, just sort of there. And then a push is something that actively pushes, is like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to do that. There's pulls, neutrals, and pushes. And for me, what I noticed, most of the pulls that I feel probably shouldn't be explored. It's probably not where I should go. I feel it in conversations. I'll be pulled to say something, and there's a pull, or to not say something, or sometimes, or to act, or to pull. There's like a pull. I feel it as a pull. And most of my pulls that I observe, what pulls me, they're usually not stuff I should be pulled to do. The neutrals are often things I should do. And the pushes are also even more often things I should do. So the pulls are usually not always, but often, I'll say, oh, that's a pretty good pull. Yeah, I probably should do that. Yep. Sometimes the pushes are like, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. And it's pushing me. Great. That's in line. And neutrals are usually the neutrals and pushes are what I actually should be doing. And the pulls are what I not should not be. I forget why that's related to the brain, what you're
Pretty
doing,
interesting,
but
actually,
it
because
was, yeah.
we had the similar exercise in one of my, funny enough, witch courses to see the energy flow and stuff like that. And I kind of see what you mean, but I think it's very individual and it's kind of like everybody experiences the metaphor that your particular brain comes up with is different. So, because when I was trying to imagine myself in your place, like I feel more like something that expands. So like it's kind of like there are expansion things, there are vortexes, like it goes like kind of like downward,
Yep.
if that makes sense. And there is the one that goes like upward.
Yep.
Oh man, so weird. And then there is indifference. And to me, whatever makes my field or whatever you want to call it grow, it's kind of like if I expand when I do this activity or go there or go do that, that's good. As in, that's what I should be doing. And that's how, for example, I scan my students sometimes. If I feel like I'm expanding around them and they're like they kind of like we're both expanding, that means that is good. If I feel that as there is like stretching going on, like sort of then maybe not necessarily. But for example, for me, like the reels and stuff, which it's not necessarily. See, I kind of see life in cycles a little bit more so with the seasons and like with different season changes. And sometimes it's good to sort of. Sometimes I feel like it is good for me to go into this like kind of vortex situation because I know that so soon enough I'm going to need to expand a little bit more. So I'm like, okay, well, this month I'm dead. I'm going to be scrolling Instagram. I'm going to be laying down in bed. I'm going to be doing nothing because I know that the pendulum is going to swing soon. So better.
Well, it's a double-ended vortex because you gets vortex down, but then it opens, if that makes sense. It opens on the other
So
end.
it has to be. And actually, as far as the
Yeah.
stress goes, we do have it's my favorite tangents about like stress hormones. So in order for you to get dopamine and do stuff, you need to go through naturally anyway, not from outside things, but you need to go through the cycle of hormones, starting with like on in its low and high peak. So it's noradrenaline, adrenaline, and dopamine. So it's like low peak of noradrenaline, high peak of noradrenaline, low peak of adrenaline, high peak of adrenaline, low peak of dopamine, and like high peak of dopamine. And it's like a car. Well, I've never driven a car, but I hope that makes sense. It's like you can't really go to the four, apparently. I have no idea what I'm talking about right now, but like you need to go one and then two and then three and then four. Like you can't go from like zero
Oh,
to.
the years you mean? I'm like,
Yeah.
what are you talking? Well, four
I
is when
have
you
no
shift the, yeah, I
idea.
see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the metaphor that the doctor that I was listening to the podcast was using for these different stress, like different motivation hormones. And I was like, I'll remember the metaphor, but I have no clue. So my brain is kind of like just numbers. You need to one, two. I don't know. I have
Yeah,
no
but a
idea.
four is actually down, but
Yeah. Never dream and never will. But it is really bad for you to be in a state of, so to speak, it's really bad for you to be in a state of high peak of adrenaline. Oh, okay, quickly, the low peak of noradrenaline is apathy. High peak of noradrenaline is grudge. Kind of like when you're like, everything is sucks and I hate everyone. And then you have low peak of adrenaline is kind of like everything sucks and I hate everyone because of this, and that. Essentially, that's what the feeling is. Then high peak of adrenaline is I'm gonna smash everybody up. I'm like angry. Then low peak of dopamine would be kind of like proactive anger in a sense that like okay well I'm going to be doing this and that in order to smash everybody up. And then dopamine is funny, it's like okay well I'm resourceful, I'm doing things, I'm going around. And neither of these states can't be permanent, and it's really bad for you to be in one of them permanent states. So you need to fluctuate in between the gears essentially all the time. Because if you're constantly doing the things that are absolutely motivating and like fulfilling, and you're ready to do stuff, essentially, like that's not feasible either. You don't, you need to go die at some point as well in order to be reborn. And that's the philosophy I've been living by the longest time. But like, it's kind of weird because, for example, with the scrolling stuff, I can spend days scrolling and doing nothing and playing stupid games on my phone and stuff like that. And then I can quit it and not do that for, and not check my phone for nothing, kind of naturally for a month or two. And then it goes back to the lazy cycle.
Kind of how I function throughout the week. Like one day I'll just be absolutely, absolutely crazy from like just crazy busy from like 9 in the morning to like 9 at night. And then the next day it's like nothing. It's just like I just rejuvenate all day and just like rot. And then that's just kind of my weekly cycle. It's like high productivity and then nothing.
Yeah, I've noticed so one thing that's been different for me lately is I've been I spend more time with my thoughts. Like I actually will talk to myself or write to myself, write or talk either. There's more time in my head. And it leads to different types of work, not necessarily work cycles, but activity cycles, not always work, but different types of activity cycles where it's like there's a whole Saturday where there's actually it's happened a couple times where I'm so in my head that I told Catherine, I was like, how do you know if you're psychotic? Like I actually asked her, like, what does psychosis mean? We were talking about that once. And I'm only like, I'm not, I know I'm not psychotic, but there's so much that I've had in my head. There's so many like visualizations, there's so many things I've said to myself. So, like I've written like 6,000 words of writing and like read through it. And like there's like so much. And it's like it's happened that I go. And then I just it's a I don't know how to describe the feeling. But then I'll go outside and it's like, oh, there's a whole world. What's this? Like I walked to a bar with my friend that day and we walked in and I was like, people, I can't process any of this. And I was talking to him and he also has these kinds of days too, where he's in his own head and he's like, yeah, no, don't worry. He's like, yeah, I know, it's just really weird. Anyway,
No.
I have to head out here in a sec so we can stop the recording. Thanks for listening to whatever this was, everybody.
No
Eye patches, eyeballs. What else we talk about?
eyeball look.
Makeup, winning the lottery, except only 60 euros. Oh, so weird.